This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Tap the banner to learn more or visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Last summer, the House Judiciary Committee launched an antitrust investigation into big tech. And lawmakers had a few questions for Amazon, so they summoned the retail giant to the Hill. Lawmakers wanted to know, for example, if Amazon ever used data about independent sellers on its site to help the company launch its own private branded products. In other words, whether Amazon was giving itself a leg up. An Amazon lawyer assured lawmakers, no, it was not.
And we do not use their individual data when we're making decisions to launch private brands. Thank
you. But last week, the Wall Street Journal published a months-long investigation into Amazon. The takeaway? What Amazon's lawyer swore under oath was not the full story. Today on the show, new evidence that Amazon employees did use data on independent sellers to develop competing brands. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, April 28th. Dana Mattioli covers Amazon.
When you think about e-commerce, in the U.S., Amazon's the biggest player. Literally one out of every three items sold online, period, in the U.S. is from Amazon.com.
Dana says one reason why Amazon is so big is its third-party marketplace. These are independent sellers who set up shop on Amazon.com. You might have used the marketplace without even realizing it. Say you go on Amazon and you buy an office chair. You might actually be buying that chair from a local chair maker, a small business that uses Amazon as its virtual store and pays Amazon a cut from its sales. Almost 60% of Amazon's retail revenue comes from third-party sellers, and the percentage is growing. But there's another part of Amazon's business that's also growing. It's private label business. Private labels are the brands big retailers create and sell in their stores. A ton of retailers do this. Like Target sells a throw pillow with the brand name Opal House. That's Target's private label. Similar thing at Walmart. A toaster under the brand name Mainstays. Mainstays is Walmart. It's the same thing on Amazon.
Amazon started creating its own products for sale back in 2007. Everyone's familiar with the Kindle e-reader, right? That's something that they manufactured themselves and sell themselves. But it exploded since then. They now have around 45 private label brands under names such as Amazon Basics, Amazon Essentials, Solimo. And these brands make everything from batteries and baby wipes, clothing, sneakers, coffee, you name it.
Amazon sells more than 240,000 private label products. Everything from Solimo gummy vitamins to Stone & Beam branded couches. And Amazon's developing those private label products for the same reason Target and Walmart are: higher profits.
So the private label business is super attractive for a number of reasons. What they do is they go and look at their data and see areas where they could create their own products. And why would you do that? You would do that because you could set a better margin for yourself. It's a higher profit. If you develop it in-house, you cut out the middleman, and it's definitely a win for the retailer because it's higher margin than selling someone else's items.
And to keep making higher margins, Amazon wants to expand its private label business. Right now, that business only accounts for about 1% of Amazon's retail sales, but in 2 years, it wants to increase that to 10%. But at the same time, Amazon is still growing its marketplace of third-party sellers. And this is where the controversy comes in, because Amazon is the dominant e-commerce platform in the country, but it is also selling its own products there too. It is both the competition and the platform. And as a platform, Amazon has access to tons of proprietary data about independent sellers' products. Data like what products are selling best at any given time, at what price, and how much companies spend on ads. It's the kind of information that market researchers at any business would die for.
It's giving almost a direct playbook into the cost of making a product and selling a product. And that is just so, so important when you're creating any sort of product. Usually when you're creating a private label product, you're going off of general industry trends or high-level sales data. You wouldn't get that granular.
If Amazon's private label business got its hands on that kind of granular data, it could be an amazing resource as the company developed its own products. But that would also mean that Amazon was using its own privileged access to sellers' data to compete with them. And when Amazon was summoned to Capitol Hill last July, that's exactly what lawmakers wanted to know. Rhode Island Congressman David Cicilline led the charge.
The subcommittee will come to order. We welcome everyone to the second of our series of hearings investigating competition in the digital markets.
You know, Amazon was grilled specifically on this topic. And what their lawyer told Congress was, we do not use individual seller data directly to compete with businesses on the company's platform.
You say we do not use seller data to compete with other sellers online. You do collect enormous data about what products are popular, what's selling, where they're selling. You're saying you don't use that in any way to promote Amazon products?
Let me answer
that. And I remind you, sir, you're under oath.
Yes, thank you for your question. We use data to serve our customers. And to clarify my question, we don't use individual seller data to directly compete with them.
Amazon has said it had measures in place to protect sellers' data and prevent conflicts of interest. It has a firewall between Amazon employees who work on the third-party side of the business and those who work on the private label side.
There is supposed to be, you know, a church and state sort of set up within Amazon. So the people that would have access to the sales data would be on the marketplace side of the business, the third-party side of the business, handling individual seller accounts. What's not supposed to happen is the private label team, which is a different part of the business, gaining access to that data.
Amazon has also said that third-party sellers' data could only be shared internally if it was in an aggregated report. In other words, a report that included more than one seller's data. Data on a single seller or a single product shouldn't be shared at all. And you did months of reporting for this. Talked to current and former Amazon employees. What did you find?
We saw very many instances where Amazon employees were accessing this proprietary data. A lot of the people doing this knew that it was wrong, but they said they wanted their private label products to succeed, and this gave them a leg up.
Coming up, how Amazon employees broke the company's rules. Welcome back. For her investigation, Dana spoke with more than 20 former Amazon employees. And some of them told her that using Amazon third-party data to create private label products was common. For starters, that firewall, the protection Amazon put in place between the marketplace employees and the private label employees, former employees told Dana there was a way around it. It's true, most private label employees didn't have direct access to marketplace data when they were developing Amazon's new products. But they could just ask a colleague who did have access to the data to pull it for them. One person even had a name for it.
They would call that going over the fence.
And if you went over the fence, you could get access to extensive reports on third-party sellers. These reports weren't just an outline of how outside sellers were marketing and selling their products. They were more like a blueprint. Dana saw a few of these reports.
The reports pulled on specific third-party sellers are super granular. It has exactly how many units they sold over the past 365 days, how much in revenue those sales brought in over the 365 days, what Amazon's margin is for each item sold, how much that seller spent on advertising for each unit sold, what the cost of returns was for that unit sold. I mean, it's super, super, super granular, and it's related to that seller's sales.
One particular report that Dana saw was for a fairly niche product, a car trunk organizer, basically a big reusable box with compartments to store things in the trunk of your car. But this report wasn't just about any car trunk organizer. It was about a specific one, a best-selling one, made by a company called Fordham.
Fordham is a four-person company based in Brooklyn. They have been in business for about 5 years, and they manufacture car accessories. They're a small company, and they're run by two 29-year-olds.
The report Dana saw had 25 different fields of information.
It showed that Fordham had sold 33,000 units of their car trunk organizer in the year that the data was from, that the average selling price was $25, that Amazon generated nearly $4 in profit for every item sold, and it also had a ton of other information.
This was a report about one company, Fordham, and one product, its car trunk organizer. And according to Amazon's own rules, that shouldn't have been allowed. Remember, the reports are supposed to be aggregate data. This report did have two other sellers, so it's technically aggregate. But their sales were so inconsequential that Fordham sales made up 99.95% of the data. And later that year, Amazon came out with its own car trunk organizers. One is slightly smaller than Fordham's and sells for $8 less. And did Fordham know that Amazon was collecting this data?
They had no idea. I actually met with the Fordham co-founders last month over coffee in Manhattan, and I showed that data to them, and they were shocked.
Are they rethinking selling on Amazon at all?
The problem is Amazon is almost all of their sales. That's where the customers are. If you think about the current retail landscape, you know, there's giant retailers going out of business and filing for bankruptcies. So they really can't afford not to sell on Amazon.
Amazon has noted that it is just a small part of the entire U.S. retail market, just 4%. But Dana spoke to other third-party sellers who are in the same boat as Fordham, and they were also angry.
They essentially feel like Amazon's stealing their research and development and using, you know, their own data as their R&D to undercut them.
When you presented the findings of your reporting to Amazon, what did Amazon say?
Yeah, so Amazon said that, like other retailers, they look at sales and store data when creating products. They also said that they strictly prohibit our employees from using non-public seller-specific data to determine which private label products to launch. And they said that the reporting that I described to them would violate its policies and that they're launching an internal investigation.
There was one quote in your story that jumped out at me from a former employee who accessed the data, who said, "We knew we shouldn't." Can you tell me about that conversation?
Yeah. So many of the employees I spoke to felt a bit morally conflicted with the types of behavior that they were taking part in. You know, they said there's pressure to do a good job and put up good numbers and succeed at Amazon. And sometimes that meant doing things that really didn't sit well with them.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, a Democrat, said the Wall Street Journal's report raised concerns about Amazon's apparent lack of candor in front of Congress last summer. Quote, "We plan to seek clarification from Amazon in short order." And today, Republican Senator Josh Hawley urged the Justice Department to open a criminal investigation into Amazon. That's all for today, Tuesday, April 28th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We come out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.